I want to speak to you this morning about living a lasting legacy. Living a lasting legacy, a legacy that will go beyond your life. See, the Bible says that our life is only a vapor. Our life is just a small segment of time. And we want to be able to make sure that our lives make a difference when we're no longer here. And if someone were to ask, or if I was to ask this question to you, what will people say about you when your time here on earth is gone? What characteristics, what adjectives would they come up with about your life? Would they say, they're a very gracious person, very faithful person, oh, a person of prayer, a person that walked humbly with their God? I mean, what kind of things would people say once you're no longer here? I think it's a great question to ask us while we're still here, while there still is time to make a difference, to make an impact, to leave a legacy for others to go, man, I'm so glad God put that person in my life or allowed that person's life to cross my path. See, that's what I think is so important, as how people will remember you, what your greatest quality may be. See, being remembered for being a faithful or a trustworthy Christian is worth so very much. And maybe you know people from your past. Maybe your grandparents or relatives that have passed on, they were just so faithful. I've talked to many people that say, I'm a Christian because my great-great-great-grandmother used to pray for me. Or my grandparents used to pray for me all the time. That's why I'm a believer today. See, there was a heritage, there was a legacy that was passed down to be faithful with God. And there's so much in life that can drag us down. There's so much in life that can stress us out and wear us out. But it's like, are we making a difference? Are you making an impact? Are you building a lasting legacy that will continue? Because I believe that's what's so important. As I remember my mom and my brother who have passed on, I remember nothing but their greatest of their qualities. Listen, they weren't perfect. None of us are perfect. But I don't dwell on the things that were lacking in their lives. I look at the things that were of benefit in their life. If you ever met my mother, she was one that never knew a stranger. I can remember growing up, sitting in the dentist's office. We would know every single person sitting in that waiting room. It was so embarrassing as a kid. It's like, oh no, here she goes. Before we'd leave, she'd know their kids' names, she'd know their occupations. My mom was just that kind of person. And my brother. My brother lived a short time on this earth, but man, he had many friends. And if there's one thing we can say about my brother, he was one that just made a difference in people's lives. He was the partier, of course, and he was the fun guy, but he impacted people's lives. And so the things that are going to happen when you're gone, the things that were going to be left behind from you, are you really making a difference? Are you really investing in your character? Are you investing in your personality, your integrity, if you will, that will last for your kids or for even those that you've come across in your life? See, today we're going to look at the life of none other than John the Baptist. Small little segment of scriptures that Mark puts into his gospel, as he does in the middle of one story, as Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. We'll get back to that at the end next week. But then here in this story about John the Baptist, and I really get the sense as I studied this week that Mark put this in here because there is a quality of John the Baptist that we can all learn from. This was a mighty man of God that was anointed by God for a single purpose, and he fulfilled that purpose. What is your God-given purpose for being here on this earth? I want you to consider that this morning. Why God has created you the way you are with the gifts and talents that you have, and why he's drawn you into his family in the body of Christ. Because every single person in this room has a purpose that God has saved you. And are you fulfilling that purpose? Again, John lived a very short life, but he fulfilled his purpose. See, John was this guy, the one who leaped in his mother's womb as the pregnant Mary came in and greeted John's mother, Elizabeth. Her baby kicked because of the Messiah. That's who this man was. He was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. He was the one, they say, was clothed in camel's hair, and get this, he ate locusts and honey. Weird dude. Definitely stuck out in a crowd, but had a plan and a purpose in his life. He was the one that was described like this. the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptist's message was simple. Repent. Repent from your wicked ways and turn to God. It was basically the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. It was that time before Jesus came and John was there to just proclaim the name of Christ. That was his sole and single purpose, and he fulfilled it perfectly. So let's jump in here in verse 14 in Mark chapter 6. Verse 14, we read this. Now King Herod heard of him, that's Jesus, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elisha. And others said, it is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John whom I beheaded. He has been risen from the dead. Now, I want you to pause right here. We're going to walk through these scriptures here one by one. Here we see, we open this up, as Jesus is on the scene. Jesus is around the Sea of Galilee, and he's ministering in that area. And Herod hears about Jesus and what he's been doing. All the things that we've been talking about for the first five chapters. Jesus healing people and restoring people to life and all these crazy things. So Herod hears about it. And what's fascinating to me is that the things that Jesus was doing, the things that he heard that Jesus was doing, the miracles and the teachings and the powerful things, he immediately says, this is none other than John the Baptist. Wouldn't it be good for Jesus to be mistaken for who we are? Wouldn't that be a great compliment? If we hear about something that's happening that God is doing in someone else's life, if we were to think, man, that's definitely Pastor RJ. That's definitely what Pastor RJ would do. And it would, but confusing it for who Jesus was, if we're going to be followers of Christ, then we need to act like Christians. We need to act that Christ-like character in everything that we do. Oh, that people would mistake in us for a Christian, that they would mistake in our actions for the actions of Jesus. And guys, that's a high call, isn't it? I bet not one of us in here would say, yeah, I live like Jesus all the time. No, we don't, do we? In fact, when we do act like Jesus and we do get credit for it, immediately we say, it's not because of what I've done. It's because of what Jesus has done in my life. It is really just putting yourself in a place where God can use you. It's opening yourself up to say, God, help me to speak your word. Help me to act like you. Help me to respond to the things in this world like you would respond. But what happens is the enemy turns the heat up in your life, and guess what happens? You respond in the flesh. You respond in anger and in frustration. And it's like, Lord, help me to come up under your authority and act the way you would want me to act. I was texting with a friend this week, and we were jokingly talking about something that had happened at the gym that we work out at. And it's hard to explain. They had this contest at Orange Theory, where it was called bingo, and the more you worked out, the more you got these bingo things. And the winner of the bingo got $500. So it's like, I mean, we were all trying the best we could. There was a couple guys that were going crazy trying to fill up their bingo card. Well, I kept telling them, I said, guys, we're doing this for nothing. This is so stupid. We're not going to win. And one guy says, no, we're definitely going to win. I'm like, we're not going to win. So it turns out some girl won. And in this text string, one of the guys says, I don't like that girl. jokingly. To him, immediately I said, now let's be careful. Let's be happy for the person. See, that's responding in a godly way. Yes, our flesh is angry. We want the $500. I put the time in. I worked all that stuff. I referred people to the gym, and I went there at noon, and I went there at 8:10. I took all these classes, and I'm getting bingos all over the place. I should have won. But so, no, our attitude needs to be Christ-like and be joyful when others prosper instead of being angry that we didn't win. Ultimately, it was a waste of time. Yeah, exactly. There are a few people that we work out with. Are you playing bingo? No, I don't mess with that stuff. Smart person. But see, guys, we talked about this last week, about being a faithful follower of Christ. Just our very presence in a situation can help bring a Christ-like character into the situation. And that's what I see here in John. See, John had a major impact on Herod. That's the first thing I see. John had an impact so much on Herod. Herod is freaking out because he took the head of John the Baptist, and the first thing he says, some amazing things are happening. John the Baptist is coming to get me. Now, Herod was paranoid. All right? Herod was like, oh no, John's come back to get me. In fact, put that picture up there if you wouldn't mind, the timeline. Yeah, thank you. I like to do things in pictures. It just helps me. This is the ministry of John the Baptist, 3.5 years of his ministry. And Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years as well. There was only a year in here. This red little line here indicates the time that this Herod is hearing about Jesus doing things. He's already killed John the Baptist. So only within a year. Could have been the next day. Could have been 365 days later. But at this point, Jesus is doing things. And Herod is thinking, this is John the Baptist, whom I took his head off. Because Herod, we're going to find out, was not happy that he had to do this. He got tricked in it, in fact. But within this year, he's still thinking about John the Baptist. Which is another indication for us not to dwell upon the things that we've done in our past that Christ has already forgiven us for. You understand what I'm saying? When Christ forgives you, it's forgiven. It's forgotten. God doesn't remember it any longer. And so don't dwell on your mistakes. Dwell on the future. Dwell on the things that God is going to use you in your life. And live that life of character so that you'll make an impact on an ungodly person. That's what John the Baptist did. He had a huge impact on Herod. And if we're going to live a legacy, we got to have an impact not only in the church, but also upon the world. And maybe it's the area that we live in that everybody thinks they're a Christian. That we don't tend to look for people that don't believe. But I would encourage you this week to go out throughout your week with different eyes, looking at each and every person in their face and asking yourself this question: do they believe in Jesus? Are they committed to Christ? Now, I'm not saying be a nutty Christian and asking everybody, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in? Listen, be led by the Spirit. And find out if there's people that need to be drawn closer to the Lord. This gentleman that I was able to lead him back to a relationship with Christ was because he got into a bad situation and I was ready to be there for him. And it's just looking and listening with your ears and listening with your heart and seeing where people are. Just because we think they're a Christian or just because they say they're a Christian, guess what? Doesn't mean they are, right? It's based on actions. It's based on the fruit that's being produced in their life. And so here's Herod going, Jesus is on the scene. This is John the Baptist. He's coming to get me. I want you to think about this also, though. What would have happened if Herod had requested Jesus to come see him? What do you think would have happened? See, Herod's thinking it's John the Baptist, and if he invites him, that John the Baptist is coming to get him. If Herod had requested Jesus to come, I believe with all of my heart, Jesus would have been his typical self, showing grace and mercy and kindness. He knew exactly what was going on in the heart of Herod. He knew the torment that he was experiencing, dwelling on what he had done to John the Baptist. And Jesus, in his grace, in his mercy, and in his love, would come to Herod and say, son, it's okay. It was part of my plan. And if we would have that same heart and that same desire to get Jesus closer to us, we wouldn't have to deal with the stress of life as much as we do. What keeps you up at night? What causes you to wake up at 3:30 in the morning going, oh, I can't believe I'm awake again. And you can't get back to sleep because you're thinking about the bills, because you're thinking about your spouse, because you're thinking about your work, because you're thinking about your vacation, whatever it is that just keeps you awake at night. Or am I the only one that stays awake at night? What is it? And it's those things that the Lord says, hold all thoughts captive to the authority of Christ. Give those things over to God and then sleep. I don't know. I didn't write it down. There's a saying that says, every night give your problems to God and then you sleep well. It's like if you just give your issues and your problems to God and say, Lord, would you work on these for me? Would you help me take care of these, Lord? And then you don't have to worry about it because God's going to help take care of it. That's what God does. John the Baptist had an impact on Herod's life. Are we, as living a godly legacy, are we passing on that same heritage, that we're going to make a difference, that people are going to see Christ in us? See, Jesus said this in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He's gentle and lowly in heart, and if he, Jesus, is that, that's what we must be. Not harsh, not angry, not frustrated. We must be gentle and lowly in heart in the way we minister to other people. Listen, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a pastor of a church, because I love showing other people God's grace and God's mercy. Because for the most part, the world's going to give them frustration, anxiety, and stress. And I can give hope. This gentleman that gave his life this weekend to Christ said to me, he goes, "I have not felt this good in so many years." That blesses my heart, it blesses God's heart, and it certainly blesses his heart. And that's the true reality. If we were going to act like Jesus, if we would truly be mindful, what kind of impact am I making on other people? What is my lasting legacy? What's going to remain after I'm no longer here? Think about it, dwell about it. Ask God, what is going to be your legacy when you're no longer here on this earth? Because God is gracious. God is gracious. Moving on from that, look at now with me at verse 17. We move on with the story. It says, "For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias," which is his wife, "his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." So give me your attention here. Not only did John have a great impact on Herod, John took a stance for what was right. John took a stance for what was right. I think this is a great legacy for any Christian to have, that we are willing to take a stand for what the Word of God says and what it means. When you're around other quote-unquote Christians and they're making rude and obnoxious comments or jokes, to take a stance and say, "Guys, we should not be doing this. We're believers." I just heard a story that I don't even want to share with you, that a friend said they met this Christian couple, and the thing that this Christian couple asked this man to do with them was unbelievable. I'm not even going to say it because I don't want it to enter into your mind. But I was like, what? They said they were, oh yeah, they say they're Christians. And this is the lifestyle they live? Oh yeah. How do they justify that? Well, as long as they both agree to it, then they think it's okay. Oh, really? I'd like to say I'm never shocked. This one kind of got, I was like, whoa. At least don't call yourself a Christian. But here's the thing. It shows us the condition of this world that we live in. And if you don't watch the news, and if you don't pay attention to the things that are happening in our world, we are on this slippery slope that is going down so quickly. Of all the things we're now embracing in our society, and I'm sorry to tell you, it's not going to get any better. There is more acceptance, not only in our country and in the world, but even in the church, accepting different lifestyles, accepting things that are contrary to the Word of God. And listen, it's hard in the society we live. You know, this whole thing, love everybody, and Jesus said that. I mean, come on, we're supposed to love everybody. But we're not supposed to agree with the lifestyles that they're choosing to live. This is John the Baptist taking a stand, saying, "Herod, you should not be with your sister's wife. You should not marry your sister." And Herod, you know, the Herods, they did whatever they wanted. So this Herod, Herod Antipas, he just goes and takes his brother's wife and says, "I'm going to marry her." And John the Baptist, listen, in these days, you don't tell a king what to do. Or you might as well be, you're signing your death sentence right there. John the Baptist didn't care. He said, "Herod, dude, you shouldn't be doing this." And it says, the Bible even says, Herodias was mad at him, wanted to kill him. But she couldn't because Herod protected him. See, this is the thing about being a Christian. when it comes against the darkness of the world, when it comes against the things of the enemy, there is a sharp contrast. There, at least there should be. And for Herod, he was being persuaded by his wife, he was being persuaded by others to do certain things. That's why John was even in prison. But he was willing to listen to John because he knew there was anointing upon John's life that he had never seen before. It even says that he would sit and talk with them. And I didn't have time to study it, but in verse 20 where it says, he did many things, I'd love to know what that is. That's John the Baptist did amazing. He probably spoke amazing things to Herod. He probably taught amazing things. Maybe he did even miracles in the presence of Herod. We don't know what those many things are. But under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and under the empowering of the Holy Spirit, John was able to do many things. And guys, we can do many things as well. We can make a difference in this world to take a stance when someone asks you, well, you're a Christian, how do you believe on this topic? Let me say to you right out of the gate, they only want to have an argument with you. If someone wants to know your stance, they just want to know if it's, do you agree with them or are you against them, and now it's going to be an argument. The best thing you can do in response to those things are, well, the Bible says this about that particular situation. It takes you out of it. And then you just say, and I believe what the Bible says. I believe what God's heart is what's absolutely truth. That's the stance we need to make. Now, I don't think we're going to change our society, but I'm telling you, you can change someone's life. You might reach one person who's living under deception and lies and might cause them to think about what they're doing and the choices that they're making. That's the difference that you can have. That's the part. Take a stance. It's so easy for us to go, I'm not going to say anything because this might be an argument. Or I'm not going to say anything, but they might not like me anymore. I like the fact that John the Baptist couldn't care less if Herod liked him or not. I mean, his life was on the line. And truly, as Christians, are our lives on the line? As believers, if you've given your life to Christ, you put your life on the line. Wouldn't it be better to be standing next to Jesus in heaven going, Lord, I stood up for you, rather than, oh, I kept quiet. I compromised. I agreed with them. Guys, we need to take a stance. And here's the thing. You can't take a stance on the Word of God unless you know the Word of God. You have to know what it says. You have to know what it means. Don't search the internet. Don't figure out what everybody else is thinking about it. Search the scriptures for yourself. Sit under biblical teaching. Listen to biblical teachings and know what the Bible says and what it means and why it says it, so that you're equipped to take a stance, to make a difference. Again, if we're living a legacy that's going to last beyond our life, we need to be those people that are willing to take a stance. Wouldn't it be great for you to be known after your pastor? They were one that stood on the Word of God, no matter what, unwavering. Now, do it with love, right? Bible says, speak the truth in love. People need to know the truth, and they're going to respond to it with a loving heart. Listen, I never went to a church when someone forced me to it. But when someone lovingly invited me, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Yeah, I would do that. Christmas and Easter, I can do that. I've got nothing to do those days, right? But that's the real, do it with love and embrace and teach people and lead them. See, Herod was a people pleaser. John was a God pleaser. And that's what you want to be. You want to be a God pleaser. So maybe you know somebody in your workplace that's been asking you questions or challenging you on some of the things. Study up on it and be ready. Be ready to give an answer for the time that they ask. And do it in a way that shows them that you care for them and love them. See, you hate the sin, you love the sinner. We were all there once, weren't we? We were all sinners at one point. Notice it says that in verse 24, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man. I love the fact that light and darkness cannot coexist together. I mean, we know that verse in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? We are children of the light. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you've been given the light of the world. And it's our job to shine the light for Christ, right? When you come up against darkness, there's no fellowship there. There's no communion there. There's no relationship there. That doesn't mean avoid it. Listen, that doesn't mean avoid darkness. It means be ready to go in there and make a difference. Don't let the darkness affect you, but you affect the darkness. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, listen to this. I wasn't going to say it till later, but John the Baptist was anointed with the Holy Spirit while he was in his mother's womb. He was destined for greatness. God said, you know what, John the Baptist, you are going to have the Holy Spirit from birth. Isn't that interesting? When we became born again, we received the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. The abilities that John the Baptist had to be bold. I mean, remember when he was out in the wilderness in the beginning? Again, wearing the camel's hair and eating the locusts and honey. What did he say to everybody? Brood of vipers, who told you to come and receive the grace of God? What a way to start a message. You dirty, rotten sinners, who told you to come to church this morning? I mean, really, are you going to keep coming? But no, he was bold. Because this is what God wants. He wants true converts. He wants true people. He doesn't want people that just want fluff. He wants people that are really committed to him, that want to live for him, that want to be used by him. For those of you in this room that are in workplaces, that are in industries like the music industry or the business industry or whatever it is, wherever God has you placed, God wants you to shine his light. He wants you to be bold. He wants you to be submitted to the Holy Spirit and be used. And when God says, go speak to that person, or when God says, go ask this person, you have to know in your heart that God is asking you to do that because he's ready to do something through you. If God is asking you to do something, he's ready to help you do it. You never have to say, I'm not prepared, God. Because God would say right back to you, that's good, because I am. God's always prepared. So the moment he tells you to do something, the moment he says, send that text, the moment he says, make that phone call. You know, in our staff meetings a couple weeks back, we sat down and we talked about different people in the church and people that have come to our church, and we said, let's reconnect with some of those people. We just felt moved by God to reconnect with some of those people, even people that aren't at the church anymore. And it's been amazing to me to see the relationships that God has rekindled and the draw for people not to necessarily come back to the church, but to come back closer to God. If you come to this church, God bless you. If God moves you from this church to another church, God bless you. I want your walk to be with the Lord, not with necessarily this church. But if you leave this church and don't get in fellowship somewhere else, this is where I struggle. I want you to be in fellowship. I want you to be in a place where you're receiving truth so that you can grow thereby. And if you're not growing, listen, if you're not growing, you're sliding backwards. You're getting weaker. You know the analogy. Don't, you know, go a few days without food. See how hungry you get. It's the same thing in your spiritual walk. God bless you. You will get hungry and you will begin to act in the flesh rather than in the spirit. That's why pastors want you to come to church, because they know the benefits you'll receive from it if you have a willing heart to receive what God's speaking. John was taking a stance for what was right. See, we all need to be known. I want this for you just as much as I want it for me. We all need to be known for how just and how holy we are. That is a good thing to be called. If someone calls you a goody two-shoes, well, good for you. I'm glad you're a goody two-shoes. It beats the alternative. But we need to be just. We need to be holy. And this is something I've been praying about. I want you to be the best you can possibly be. Listen to that. I want you to be the best you that you can possibly be. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm asking you to give your all, to fight, to do what's right, and to live a life that says, God, I'm surrendered to you. That is a lasting legacy that will continue. That person gave their all. They were committed to whatever they did. They never quit. They never gave up. They always could be counted on. And listen, we all mess up our calendars and miss an appointment here or there. That's the worst thing for me. It's like, oh, sorry, I didn't write it down. But we're going to do our best to make sure we show up, be there on time. Again, it represents God rightly. Be the best you can be. That's what John the Baptist was. So he influenced Herod. He took a stance for what was true. Now look at this last part, verse 21. We'll finish this section out. This is what happens. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, his high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." He also swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom." He'll eat those words. So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. What a lovely Mother's Day gift that is. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. The last thing I want to say is John influenced Herod in a powerful way. He took a stance for what was true. But here in the end, John lost his life for speaking truth. John lost his life for speaking truth. If you remember the story of John the Baptist, when he's in prison, as Herod had him in prison, he sent some of his friends to go ask Jesus a question. Do you remember what the question was? He says, "Go ask Jesus if he's truly the Messiah or if we're to wait for someone else." The very same man that saw Jesus coming to the Jordan to be baptized, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." As he's in prison, locked up in Herod's court, probably expecting to die soon, he begins to question, "Did I get it wrong? Did I make a mistake? Did I get the wrong guy? There's been other false messiahs. Maybe this isn't really the one." And in that place of desperation, in that place of fear, in that place creeps in doubt. And I want to say this to you guys. There are going to be times when we get in difficult situations, when we get in difficult places, that's when the enemy plays with our minds and begins to bring that doubt. Did God really call me to this mission? Did God really call me to this job? Did God really call me to do this thing? Because it's now becoming hard. It's now not really unfolding the way I thought it was going to unfold. John the Baptist, for sure, was sitting there going, "What's the deal, God? I did everything for you. I did what you asked me to do, and now I'm in this situation." And we might ask ourselves, well, why not like Daniel in the lion's den? God protected him. Why not like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when he went into the fiery furnace? God protected them. He was with them. Why didn't he? Let me say this. John the Baptist fulfilled his ministry completely. He was done with the reason that he was here to be put on earth. And John the Baptist, God said, "Come be with me." It is better to lose your life and be in the presence of the Lord than to save your life and continue to live outside of God's will. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Listen, if you gain your life, you're going to lose it. If you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my name's sake, you will receive it." Guys, there is nothing greater. There's no greater legacy that you can ever live than to say, "I fulfilled God's purpose for my life." And let me remind you this. John the Baptist right now is sitting in heaven, enjoying God's goodness, and he doesn't regret one thing. He doesn't regret one thing because here we are 2,000 years later talking about his life, saying he was a man of great integrity. He was a man of great authority, great power, great boldness. He spoke the truth, didn't care how people received it. And that's the legacy that we must have, a willingness to be bold. Listen, if you're one of these people, I'm not saying, you have to convince anybody. I'm just saying be used by God. It may seem like a small thing, but the God that can plant a seed in someone else's heart can make it water and turn into something you don't even have any clue. So you just be faithful in those small little things. Continue to be faithful in those little things, and God will give you these opportunities that will be so amazing. At the end of your life, it won't be how much you have in your bank account. It won't be how much schooling you had. It won't be any of those. Those are great things and wonderful things that God can use. But at the end of your life, God wants to know, were you faithful to do what I've asked you to do? And if you're one of those people today that doesn't know, just like my friend who said, I want to commit my life to Christ, you just got to ask God, Lord, reveal to me this day what you want me to accomplish for you. Show me, Lord. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You're always going to be here with me. Now walk with me this day. As we close this Bible study and we enter into a time of communion, I would imagine that more for all of us, as we hold those elements in our hands to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us, that now we can ask God, say, Lord, you did that for me. I can't repay you. It's not that. But God, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I be used by you? In a small way, to God, all things are small, all things are big. It doesn't matter. So in this time of communion, let's ask ourselves, are we being and building a lasting legacy that will continue for years after we're no longer here? Father, we thank you. We thank you for John the Baptist. We thank you for a man of such integrity and such faith. And though there may be a time in his life when he questioned God, I'm sure there's many times in all of our lives that we've questioned your will and your way. But we were reminded today that this man's life had a great impact and influence on Herod, that he was not ashamed to take a stance for what was right, and that he was willing to completely give his life over to you. So Lord, help each and every one of us walk worthy of the call, of being called Christian. Not what the world thinks a Christian is, Lord, but what you think a Christian is. For Christians are to be Christ-like. We're to walk like Christ, act like Christ, knowing we can never be Christ. But your word says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So my prayer is that you would strengthen us this day to be the best that we can possibly be. We know we need your help. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.